And I am afraid that I should apologize to our many guests who are here today. I cannot say that I am not disturbed, and I do not know whether I can get through this service. And if I cannot, I ask that Brother Kreider pronounce a benediction after we join in singing the closing hymn, and that we be adjourned thereafter. Today we come to the last day of my present ministry with this congregation. As you know, tomorrow morning, Reverend E.J. Bone will occupy the pastor's study. And also, as you well know, he is a man of proven ability, capacity for church leadership, having demonstrated his devotion to the kingdom and his ability to work effectively in the role of a minister throughout his lifetime of very valued and able service. And our 8th Street Church here, which is so dear to the hearts of many of us here today, can only benefit through his service here. And I'm sure that I look forward to this as well as you. While I shall continue as a member of this congregation, as a regular worshiper of these services, and as an active supporter of all that is undertaken here, this must be and will be in the role of a lay member. Although as a matter of principle, I do not approve the use of the time allotted to a minister on Sunday morning for personal purposes, and as you can remember, I have carefully avoided such misuse of the time over the years, it would perhaps nevertheless be in order for me to this morning make some purely personal comments and observations. It goes without saying that the 16 and a half years which I have spent here have produced many experiences and have been the source of many relationships which constitute a major portion of my life. In the work of the ministry, one can scarcely divide his life into that which applies to his vocation or which is a part of his work and that which is something other, for all of one's life is a part of his ministry, and it is seen in this way by members of the church and members of the community and everyone. And so my work here has been not merely my job but almost my entire life. That I have had the opportunity of fulfilling the ministerial role in this church, I regard honestly as the crowning blessing of my life, and I look forward to no greater blessing than this, or none to equal it in the years to come, which remain to me. Some of you may know that when I was a youth, this particular congregation seemed like the greatest thing in the world to me. Now, this will be boring to many guests who are here, I'm sure, and I apologize to them for it, but I felt that I should go over this ground this morning. This seemed, as I say, like the greatest thing in the world to me here, for I found in this place enormous personal satisfactions in the Boy Scout program, in the choir, in the youth fellowship, in my relations with the minister and otherwise. Now, probably a major factor in this feeling of love for this church was also the fellowship which I had with a few other young people whose lives pretty much also orbited around the affairs of this congregation. One indication of the way this affected and warped my judgment was in the fact that this sanctuary, as it formerly existed, always seemed to me to be one of the largest rooms I was ever in. And it even seemed that way to me during the first years of my ministry, and it wasn't until I'd been here for half a dozen years that I realized that it was a very small place after all. Now, there are many reasons why a person chooses the ministry for his vocation. In my case, so far as I was concerned, The influences which led me to choose the ministry were largely centered here in this church. Sometimes, you know, a young man hears an address which affects him profoundly in the direction of the vocation that he will follow, whether it be in the church or otherwise. Sometimes he has a teacher or some other highly respected individual who motivates him in this direction. Or, of course, many other factors can contribute to leading a man into whatever vocation may happen to be his lot. The accidents and circumstances of life all contribute to this. But as I have said, in my case, taking seriously the life and purposes of the small group of people who made up this congregation, my own nudgings toward the ministry came from the 8th Street Church and its program. In the General Conference, we are now in a time when congregations are being asked to find ways of encouraging young men to enter the ministry. And I feel that it's worth doing to report how at least one such young person got influenced in this direction. It may not be valuable for the young people, but it will be valuable for us who remain as members here and who are making an impact, whether we know it or not, on all the young people that come within our influence. I should say that not any one person in this church provided me with my desire to serve in this way, that many had a part in it. Indeed, I suppose that almost everyone who worked and worshiped here regularly helped me in this direction. And I'm trying to say that it is the whole fabric, or it was the whole fabric of the life and work here that caused me to become minister. And people, I could mention names of people who were leaders in my day and who personally influenced me in this direction. And in many cases, they were the most unlikely people. Unlikely in the sense that they were not the kind always that we think of as being particularly pious and outstandingly righteous and so on. But I found them attractive people, and this attractiveness was set against the background of the life of this church, and I put the two together, and this moved me in this direction. Now, I should say that in the early years of my training, after my commitment to this direction became clear to me, the idea that I might someday become the minister at this church never occurred to me. Now, this is not any false modesty or anything other than the truth, but it's a simple statement of fact that in the wildest flights of my imagination, I never dreamed that I would be the minister here. And this was true when I was in college, and it was also true in seminary, and afterward when I became a settled pastor elsewhere. And the reason was that in my mind, I saw this church as being on the highest possible pedestal because of my previous connections with it. And so far as I was concerned, and I'm sure this must be embarrassing again to the guests who are present here, but I shall report it nevertheless, and so far as I was concerned, a higher position than that of the minister here at this church simply did not exist. And of course, this seemed completely beyond me. And I'm trying to be completely honest when I say that I've never lost this regard for this church. When at 25 years of age, I came here for a year as the assistant minister and then as pastor, I always felt myself to be walking on holy ground. And I was afraid to do anything less than the best that I could do. And as I assess my feelings here at the end of 16 and a half years, I say that I have no regrets in the sense of feeling that I have not done my best, for I feel that I have done the best that I could do in the overall program of this church. And there is a real satisfaction in this feeling. Now, by this, I do not mean to imply, of course, that there haven't been some failures, nor to say that all the things have gone the way they should have gone. I suppose many things have happened which I would have had happened otherwise if it were possible. Yet being the person that I am, with the limitations which I have, I was unable to prevent these things from happening, even with the expenditure of my best efforts. Now, doubtless some will not accept this evaluation of my relationship here, but I'm reporting what my feelings are at this point. It has been the feeling of some that here that in accepting the position of administrator of the development program of the Oak Lawn Psychiatric Center, that I am leaving the ministry, as they say. Perhaps in some sense this is true, yet I must say that I have no such feeling, no feeling of leaving the ministry. Many of you will recall that throughout my ministry here, that I have avoided picturing the ministry as being inherently superior to, or in God's eyes, different from farming or business or school teaching or factory work or truck driving or any other vocation in which God's people may engage. I believe that all Christians share in the work of the church, as Paul said in the scripture lesson which I read this morning. All are free to interpret the scriptures according to their own lights. All men can approach God directly in prayer, and each man may invoke for himself the name of Jesus Christ. All Christians are serving in God's kingdom, which needs to be served in many ways. And the particular responsibility for leadership in the church, which is assigned to the minister, while it is of vital importance, must never be considered to be of superior importance by any one of us, because when we do that, we may thereby suppose that our own post, whatever it is, may somehow seem less significant by contrast. And it is not less significant, but it is just as significant. In the light of such a philosophy, I believe that the work to which I will be going is God's work, and that it is indeed, in a special way, the work of the church. If the developing Oak Lawn Center is ever to achieve the healing role which its sponsors hope for it, it will need to be closely related to the church from which it emerges. I believe that one with intense experiences in the church is needed now for the administrator's role in this development. For on the one hand, the Oak Lawn Center faces the danger of becoming only another medical center with complete medical orientation. And on the other hand, it faces the danger of being misunderstood in the churches, so that the churches never really realize or take advantage of the great potential which it has for serving them and the purposes of the kingdom. Now, I feel personally challenged by both of these areas of opportunity. The need for such a place for the specialized healing of the mind, as the Oak Lawn Center proposes to be, is clear, I think, in our day, when many experience mental and emotional disturbances of one kind or another, and when any one of us could benefit from a program which attempts to help people see themselves and their problems in such a light as to make both seem normal and both seem capable of being handled successfully. To develop and administer a program which involves a number of highly trained professional people, which calls for a broad program of public relations, both in the community and in the church, interpreting this development, which involves the necessity for raising and administering fairly large sums of money, and which needs to be constantly attempting to relate itself to the felt needs of the community and the church. This is the task which I will be facing at the Oak Lawn Center. I believe it will be an interesting task and a sufficiently important task, and I believe it is in line with the work of the church. While I am working at the Oak Lawn assignment, I have every expectation that my life and participation here at the 8th Street Church will continue. Our family will, of course, continue its present residence. My sons and I will be active members of this congregation. My wife and other members of our family will welcome and expect your continued visits at our home. But the relationship will not now be that of pastor and people, but that of friend and friend. With almost the total focus of our lives having been here at 8th Street Church for so many years, it goes without saying that our friends are here too, and the connections which we have with those who worship here week after week are among the most precious values of our lives. Now, one of the questions which I am frequently asked is whether I actually will be returning to this pulpit. And doubtless the question has crossed the minds of almost all our members here this morning. If my answers to you who have asked this question have been evasive, this would be because I honestly do not know. One cannot easily read the future. Let me say, however, that in fairness to this congregation, whose welfare I value far above my own, that if it becomes clear to me that I will not be able to return to the duties of this pastorate within a reasonable time, that I will submit my final resignation at once in order to permit the process of finding a permanent replacement to begin. As I leave this post of duty, I do so with a feeling that the present condition of this congregation is a sound one. Of the just over 400 members, adult persons, reported on our membership roll, almost all of them may be considered to be actively committed to this church, although there are some who might prefer to have their names removed from our membership roll. Further, I believe that this community has a population in which there are numerous resources for the continued growth of this church, and that we may look forward in the not too distant future to a time when 8th Street Church will have a membership of 500 persons, which is considered by some to be the best size for a congregation. Church growth does not come easily, however. It has not come easily or cheaply here, nor will it do so in the future. Each of us needs to consider ourselves to be responsible for the image which our church has in the community and to represent the church to others who might like to join in common purpose with us here. Even more than this, each of us needs to work aggressively to make newcomers to this congregation feel themselves to be a part of it, and so that it is possible for them to enrich our common life by their own distinctive contributions. All of us, of course, find satisfaction in the building which we have here. While much of it has been provided by previous generations of church members, we also here today have had our innings, with the result that this may be considered to be a relatively complete modern church edifice with facilities ample for a congregation of 500 persons. The material challenge of our future, I believe, lies in the finishing of the payments on our building and in the providing of off-the-street parking facilities nearby. Financially, the church here, as you know, has a good-sized indebtedness on its building. I believe that this is not to be lamented. In certain circles, it is said that a church which is not head over heels in debt is a dead church, for its vision is not equal to its resources. I believe that here our vision has thoroughly challenged the resources of our church, but that this vision has not gone recklessly beyond our abilities. We need to continue to work at our stewardship concepts here and to find ways of motivating the total congregation to a growing support of the budget of the church. One of the big opportunities confronting us now, I believe, has to do with the challenge to relate our work to the modern world in which we live. It is a world in which there is a growing number of old people, and we need to have a better program for old people. It is a world of growing mental and emotional disturbance, and we need to offer more effective resources in this area. It is a world always threatened by war, and we need to do a better job stating the message of peace and letting it get through to our society. It is a world wherein men are uncertain as to which values in which they may believe, and we need to therefore reaffirm more convincingly the values of the Christian gospel. If all of this sounds pat and simple, please believe that it is not so, for each of these tasks is of sufficient complexity to demand the very best that we have to give. Of one thing I think we may be sure, that is that the future will not take care of itself. The future prosperity of this church is by no means assured, however strong its present position may be. Somebody has got to work and plan and sacrifice for the future. And so also with every reasonable goal we may believe to have before us, not one of them is going to be reached automatically. But under God, we can move toward these goals by dint of prayer and faith and much work. Whatever progress has come to 8th Street Church during the past years has come mainly by reason of the work and sacrifice and dedication and cooperation and faith and basic unity of the members here. If we have had strength, it has been this in the past, and if we're going to in any sense possess the future, it is also going to be for this reason. Finally, I want to thank all of you for the privilege that you have granted to me to be so involved in the life and work of this church. I could speak at great length of many other things, of the splendid qualities exhibited in all of you in this relationship over the years. But to do so would be unnecessary, I believe, for you already understand me as fully as I understand you, if I understand you. And I think this is an appropriate note on which to close. I want to close by reading a section from Paul's letter to the Romans, which might be the kind of confidence we share as we look to the future. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Is it Christ Jesus who died? Yes, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all good things which have come from thy hand, and we trust in thee for all good things which we expect confidently that thou wilt bestow upon us in the future. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.